Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Kia ora, Wellington. Welcome to B-Side Stories, the stories of the people who make Wellington tick. You're listening to Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. I'm Sadie Coe, and I've also got my co-host Trish Given here today. Hi, Trish.
Kia ora, Sadie. How are you?
I think I felt like I was busy, and then I saw you, and I realised I don't know what busy is.
I know it needs to stop, actually. We need to do something about that, don't we?
Sorry.
Trish is going to talk later on. Trish is a bike advocate, and Patrick Morgan, who is also a bike advocate, cycling advocate, is going to come in, and we're going to have a chat about some of the things that are keeping Trish busy at the moment. Yeah, about Bike Day, Aotearoa, and so forth. Go by Bike Day. It's going to be good.
We just had. Am I still on? No.
Yeah, you are.
I am. Sorry, it's been a while since we've been here, Sadie, together. So sorry. Forgive me if I muck it up a little bit.
As we know, anything can happen.
Yeah. So just finished the Aotearoa Bike Challenge Month, and also happened Go by Bike Day next week, and lots of bike paths and cycleways open and around the city. So there's heaps
it's very
going on.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Awesome. So so that'll be the second half. And the first half, what I was doing on the weekend was going to the Newtown Festival, which is always absolutely amazing. Huge numbers of people came along to that to celebrate. And this weekend, sort of as part of that, 11 local artists are opening up their workspaces or galleries for the Newtown Open Studios weekend. And actually, you know about this because Frocks on Bikes are also going to be there organising a tour to studios to visit some of those places on bike. One of those artists is Busy Bunzel. Sorry, Biddy, I just said your name wrong. Biddy Bunzel.
I'm also busy.
Yeah. We're all busy and confused. Anyway, let's go back to that. One of the artists who's having an open studio is Biddy Bunzel, who works in many media, including paint, ceramics, metal and print. Biddy's here today to talk to us about her life, her art and creativity in Newtown. Hi, Biddy.
Hi, hello. Lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming in. That's awesome. Can you, first of all, can you just give us a bit of a bio? I know that you grew up in South London, but your family are from Austria, yeah?
Yeah, they're from Vienna. Both parents are from Vienna and then came to London in 1938. So I was born a lot late, you know. I'm probably the oldest artist showing in the Open Studios this year, but I was born in 1952, so I'm 70 this year.
Ooh, and milestone.
Yeah, we had a good party. And I started, after school, I started a foundation course in Vienna, Austria, at the Kunstakademie. I think my parents just wanted to get rid of me, and my grandparents were living there. So it was like, get her away from her boyfriend.
What was wrong with your boyfriend?
They didn't like him. Anyway, they were quite right. And after Vienna, I went to Camberwell School of Arts for 3-4 years, and then to Reading University, and then to Amsterdam, where I got a scholarship.
Oh, wow.
And after that, I started practicing, I think.
It's a lot of study.
Yes, it's a lot of study, probably.
How did you find art school? Obviously, you must have enjoyed it.
I loved art school, but I don't think I really started making art where I found myself after art school when I started to practice in my own studio. You're pretty isolated. But you do have a group of artists usually, around you. And where I was living in South London, there were many, many artists who went to Camberwell, to Goldsmiths. I live very close to Goldsmiths. My tutor at Camberwell lived around the corner from me in Broccoli. And so, constant artistic feedback. I have to say, that the thing that changed my life was when I had to, I think it was in the 1993, and I met my lovely partner, the avant gardener, James.
Who's lurking here in the background.
Who just makes the most inspirational gardens, which is a big inspiration
Maybe
for my work.
Maybe we need another show. Oh, we need to get you back in, get James in, talk about his gardens.
For sure.
Yeah.
I figured one of them was enough with all their creativity on this occasion.
Yeah. But
definitely awesome.
Yeah. He's much more interesting than I am, honestly.
He's gesturing that this is not the case, that you're more interesting. So you guys can fight about that later.
Yeah.
So I do have to find out your little anecdotes. You were saying that you sometimes would see David Bowie around your neighbourhood.
Oh, yeah, growing up in South London, you'd see him on occasion. So that was quite a thrill. And the other person I used to see quite a lot was Kate Bush, which is because she was in Eltham, which is just near where I was living.
Right.
So a lot of talent going on in South London, including Kay Tempest.
Oh yes,
from Broccoli.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I did spot Biddy and James the other day up the front dancing away at Kay Tempest.
That was such an amazing gig,
wasn't it? Brilliant. She's very, very talented.
So you come from a very talented corner of the world as well.
Yeah, I'm the ambassador for South London.
Yeah, that's good. I think just keep doing that. That's awesome.
So you came to New Zealand because you'd met James?
Yes. And what a paradise it is here. I mean, you know, it's just so fabulous. I love it. I love Wellington. I wasn't so keen on Auckland, but Wellington is just so... A small is beautiful. I love the houses, especially the old villas. I'd love to paint them all. it's just gorgeous, gorgeous little capital.
I'd quite love you to paint all the houses too. Probably a lot of people have seen your house. It's in Owen Street in Newtown, and it's bright, bright red. Is that Mexican red or what colour is that?
It's called Red Hot.
Red Hot.
Red Hot. And it was really, I think very carefully about colours. Mm-hmm. I sort of go through sleepless nights deciding on what colour to use, especially on a big project like that. And it was really, I thought, a perfect backdrop to show off the plants. And... I'm very particular that we have red or pink or orange plants, flowers in the front, just to clash a bit.
Right, yeah, that old thing I remember, it used to be you couldn't have red and pink together for some reason.
Gorgeous. Because so colours beautiful. Speak to each other, you know, and they change character if you just have the confidence to put them together in an unexpected way.
Yes.
So don't hold back.
I've embraced more colour in the last few years as well too. I found it's like, it's definitely more liberating.
Yeah.
In my clothing, because I went to art school as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But in Ireland. And I would have been like that uniform of black for a very, very long time in my life. And now I've just kind of went, no, I need as much colour as possible.
Yeah.
And the lighter and bigger and brighter the prints are, the better. And just putting those amazing colours together and not being afraid of colour.
I think a lot of people are
very afraid.
Fearful of colour.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I do love about Wellington as well, is the quirkiness of the people that you see around. I always feel like there should be a sartorialist blog for the people that you see out and about every day. It's just... really lovely, along with the sartorialist housing, you know, just getting everybody and everything that's really beautiful and embracing that and celebrating it.
Especially in Newtown. I really noticed that on the weekend at the Newtown Festival. I was just like, look at all these amazing outfits.
I know.
Yeah, people really dress for the occasion.
Yeah.
And we've got some lovely young Newtonian artists that on the list here of open studios that are doing fabulous things. So I'd really like to promote, especially the younger artists that are doing, I mean, there's number five pings out at me. Noah von Bezewitz.
Yeah.
Woodblock Prince.
Oh, you know Noah.
I do.
Yeah, we know Noah.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Through you.
Her kids go to school with my kids. And Sadie, when her house was being done up, needed a place to stay. And Noah had an Airbnb at the time. It was just after lockdown.
Oh, really? So
it's a small world. But yeah, her prints are just phenomenal.
Yeah, aren't they? Yeah, I just had a quick peek at those.
Yeah.
And,
so that's going to be up Constable Street, yeah?
Constable Street.
Is it at, called
Rice Pudding, which is
a
gallery space, but artist-led. So I think they're going to be 1, 2, 3, 4 artists showing there.
Oh, cool.
Duncan Sargent, who does beautiful paintings and gorgeous wooden sculptures, sculptural candlesticks, as well as, you know, more abstract sculptures. Then we've got Emma Prestige. She's a young painter. And Rob Wolf, who's doing jewellery. And, of course, Noah. Mm-hmm. So I think the mix will be
That's a lovely... Yeah.
A lovely
place. And that's so all in the one space. Yeah.
And that's all in the one space. Mm. I mean, the other thing that's great about the Newtown Open Studios is you can easily walk or cycle between the, you know, the studios. Paul Forrest has beautiful butterflies. You may have seen those around
Newtown.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Really gorgeous.
It's such a classic Kiwi thing, isn't it? The butterfly, but he's just taken it to the next level.
Absolutely, absolutely.
The butterfly you put on the side of your house.
I know. We have a plague of wetters at the moment in the garden.
Oh.
So I'm waiting for Paul to do a big giant wetter.
To lead them all.
Lead them away like the Pied Piper.
I don't mind wetters except when they're in my shoes.
Oh, really? Do they bite?
They kind of suck on to you, don't they?
I can imagine they might, but they're so kind of scratchy, aren't they? When they're in your shoe, they're a scratchy thing.
Yeah. Never had one in my shoe yet. That's the first city.
That's when I was a kid, so it's probably damaged me for life.
Yeah.
So who else is there? Is it everybody or is
it? So we have another venue in where there are three artists in Mansfield Street. So Willow McCarthy does sculpture and collage, and she's in Unit E, 305A Mansfield Street.
Mm-hmm. So up near the zoo, up towards the zoo end.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just at the bowling club, isn't it? It's the bowling club and not as quite as far as the fire station. So it's on, what's that
sort
street
of opposite.
Called? Is it Rintoul?
That is Mansfield. No,
that's
Mansfield Street.
Sorry. Yes, of course. Duh. So Willow, Cathal McCloy painting. I haven't seen so many of his paintings, but I'm sure it'll be really interesting. It's all a discovery, you know. It's an adventure and a great opportunity to see artists in their own studios. And the last one is a framing kind of gallery, and Joe is showing, I think, a group of about 10 different artists, but they're going to be quite small paintings. And she's frames, so that's a useful thing to know that Joe is actually a framer, and she's just showcasing some of the other artists.
Yeah. So I know that she tries to be very sustainable, and I think one reason why they're small is because she was wanting to use up all those offcuts that would otherwise be just thrown out. And trying to use old wood and coming up with ways to avoid destroying your equipment on the nails and old wood.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Brilliant idea. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And then the number one on the list is Anu Diana, and she does painting and video. She's over in Rintoul Street, and Marnie White, they're showing together in one venue. So it's a very easy circuit.
A nice little wander.
Nice little wander. Mm-hmm. You can take your time. We're open two afternoons, Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon. And there we have a Facebook page, I think, somewhere. I'm not a Facebook person.
We'll put it on our Facebook. And people will be able to find
it. And Instagram, Newtown Open Studios. Great. Instagram. Oh,
so what are you going to be showing, Biddy?
Well, I'm going to be showing paintings, ceramics, vases, big vases. They're all one-off pieces that the vases all they're all hand-built, and some of them are glazed multiple times, which is sort of interests me from a sculptural point of view. What else? Tableware, I think you call it. So, and lots of cups. Right. I love making cups.
Oh no!
Yeah. Well, is anything for sale on the day as well too?
Yeah. I was going to say that prices start at $2 for postcards, and the tiles that I've got are like $5. So very affordable. I think it's all very affordable.
Yeah.
So,
do you work out of your home as well?
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to have James's dad's workshop. It was his dingy old workshop full of beautiful tools which have been made into the front gate.
Oh, is that what that is? Right.
Yeah.
Yes. I love that gate. Mm.
So, again, repurposing materials that you have into something useful.
Yeah. It's amazing how many little studios that are based, you know, and hidden around the city in backyards and in garages and stuff like that. And just going out for a walk around your community, you find so much. You discover a lot more. Like I discovered a lady in Mount Victoria who had a kiln. She was putting things in. And I'm like, you know, just random, but it was just really lovely. And then woodworkers as well, who are all like doing bits and pieces out of like, very tiny spaces.
I know. I mean, it is. I'm lucky enough to have a decent sized studio to do all the, because I do stained glass as well. So everything else gets sort of. I'm a bit OCD about getting everything sort of not messing things up.
That must be hard when you're working with metal and paint and.
Well, but I don't do that. Glass. I do one thing or the other.
Okay, so you finish a project.
So if I'm working on ceramics, then I'll clear everything else away.
Right.
And I have to say, New Zealand is just a fantastic place for making ceramics. I mean, I'm a member of the Wellington Potters Association and Otaki Potters. And between those two venues, I can get things fired because I don't have my own kiln.
Right.
But New Zealand is also full of, I'm always, you know, so pleased to see the creativity here, the wonderful jewellery, the just the originality of thought is quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
How do you think the creative spirit here, maybe in Wellington, would differ to London, for example?
It's a different thing. You see creativity everywhere here, everywhere I look, whether it's I don't know, the way people name things, the way shops are put together, or, you know, one off shops. I don't mean the chain stores or anything. And there's a lot more light here. I mean light. London's a bit grey. But there's a lot of fabulous art going on there, but you don't get as many smaller makers. I mean, I was part of the Broccoli Open Studios when I was there and started organising that. And then you get to know where the artists are and what they do. And all. So this is modelled on a similar thing to the Broccoli Open Studios, which is now the Newtown Open Studios.
Right. Were you part of organising this?
This?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. Myself and Kim Young.
Oh, okay.
Who has now opened Rice Pudding Gallery in Newtown.
I see.
Yes. It's all connected.
It is. Yeah. Everything is connected.
Very much so.
What's it like having strangers come into your house and into your creative space?
Oh, I love it because they ask questions and they can see who I am, mm-hmm. what I'm doing. They see it all in context, but they get diverted into the garden because they just want to see. Oh, my God.
It is a glorious garden.
It is a glorious garden. He's a genius.
Gardening genius. Actually, you were saying earlier that you're happy to give people advice if they're thinking of painting their house in some colours that aren't beige or off-white. You might be a good person to get advice from.
Yes, I am the colour girl. Come to me. I will give you free advice. Let's paint Wellington.
And I got advice from Biddy. That's how I met you.
Yeah, that's
because somebody said you should go and ask Biddy, and so I did.
Well, we have the same house painter.
Yes.
Oh, right.
That's right. That's who told me to go.
Jimmy.
Because I was going through all these sort of crazy colours and Jimmy said, go talk to Biddy. Biddy's done crazy colours.
Can you, when you post about this afterwards, can you post a picture of your house?
My house?
Yeah, or both
and
your houses?
I've got,
just because I want to see your beautiful colours.
I do have photos of both, actually. Yeah. And I've got photos of the previous iteration, which I also liked. The orange.
Yeah.
Makes me really smile when I walk past Sadie's house.
Yeah. It just stands out so much. It's so beautiful. And so does yours as well. It is lovely.
And hopefully we see more of that. Hopefully we see more.
Yeah. Our one glows.
Colour.
Yeah.
I think.
Yes. It's a real beacon. Yeah. You can be on the other side of
And I wanted to send a message. You know, don't be fearful. Go for it.
Yeah.
And the paints now, Resine, give them a plug, they have all the technology so you can use, you know, darker colours.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I remember trying to work out the light reflectancy value versus this and the other thing and getting up to the maximum of that and adding in the cool colour and bringing it down.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
It's all good fun. So I read that you've been called serious about joy.
Did you read that?
On your website? it was a review by somebody. And yeah, I just wonder, is that your creative philosophy?
I do like a bit of joy in my life. I think everybody does.
I think we
For
do.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not everybody has the skill to sort of create it, though.
I don't know. I just think, you know, you listen to the news and it's also dire and there are people in such a desperate state. And there's not a day or moment that goes by that I don't thank my lucky stars that I'm so able to be creative and do what I do.
Mm. And so what inspires you? You were talking about colour. I mean, that seems to be a pretty major one. Anything else?
Well, it's just where I am. Wherever I am, I sort of respond to the now. I think if I was to do a painting about this room, it would come very easily to me. When I have a blank canvas, that really excites me, and I start mark making, and I just, it's almost like a meditation. I just go into it. And I like to be messy. I like to be fearless. As soon as I start thinking about something, it's forget it. I just
the
creative thing just probably disappears.
So you just sort of let your hands do it.
It's intuitive, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not so much observational. You're not sitting there looking at a model or
no.
No.
But sometimes, I mean, in the 80s, there are some very large works on paper that I have in the studio that I did in the 80s, and I rolled them up and I brought them out here because we framed a couple and we put them up in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Those were based on still life situation, you know, so I set up a still life and I wouldn't do it perfectly. It would come out quite abstract and just with big gestural colour marks. And so it's a response to what I have in front of me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it sure does.
Oh, that's awesome. Hopefully lots of people listening will get along and check out some of the artists, including Biddy's house and studio and art.
I know, I'm really looking forward to it. So we'll see you on
Oh, great.
On Saturday.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah,
thank
we'll be
you.
Over.
Fabulous.
But, yeah.
Thank you for this opportunity to invite people to the new Town Open Studios.
Yeah, it should be great. I've got two songs lined up here just from sort of art school bands. So what's your choice? Starman by David Bowie or Burning Down the House by Talking Heads?
Oh, gosh, that's a difficult choice. Oh, what about Starman, I think?
Okay, here comes Starman by David Bowie when I push the right buttons. Okay.
Didn't know what time it was, the lights were low, oh, oh. I leaned back on my radio, oh, oh. Some cat was laying down some rock and roll at a solo set. Then the loud sound that seemed to fade came back like a slow voice on a wave of fate. That were no DJ, that was hazy cosmic jazz. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he'd blow our minds. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He told us not to blow it, cause he knows it's all worthwhile. He told me, let the children lose it, let the children use it, let all the children do get. Look out your window, I can see his light. If he can sparkle, he may land tonight. Don't tell your papa, or he'll get us locked up in fright. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he'd blow our minds. There's a starman.
Yeah.
Hello, welcome back to B-Side Stories. You're listening to Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. Just had a slight technical issue in the non-appearance of our next guest.
He's on his way, though. He is on his way. We can do a brief chat with him at the end.
He might get a little couple of minutes at the end if he's lucky. But that's all right. So, because in the meantime, we still have Biddy here. Biddy's awesome, has lots of stories. And we also have James here. So we've just popped James on a mic as well.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi. Sorry, remind me of your last name, James?
Fraser.
James Fraser, yeah. So we've been talking about the amazing house that Biddy and James share, which is bright, bright red in Newtown, bit of a landmark. And I understand a lot of that amazing look of the property is due to you, James, and your gardening.
Well, I was lucky enough to spend my teenage years in that house. We grew up across the road, and through the sort of generosity and care of my mother, caring for the elderly woman who lived in that in the red house, mm-hmm. when she passed on, her nephew offered it to my father to house them and my three brothers, us and four boys growing up in this small house. He offered it to him for $16,000. We moved there when I was 14, across the road. I spent my teenage years, and of course a keen gardener then, because my parents were very big vegetable gardeners and big on organic gardening. So that was just something I became fascinated with there.
Even as a teenager?
Even as a teenager, right. The composting process. I just couldn't believe how that magic happened. And that's where it all started. And I left when I was 18, and as I'm discovered horticulture as a career, not just a hobby. I ended up in London with a business in gardening, in design and build landscape gardening with a new Kiwi bent, because I use a lot of New Zealand small trees as structure in these London gardens. So I took it with me from Newtown, you know, that sort of practice. And I've now landed back there, luckily, and I've managed to bring Biddy back with me, so we're back where it all started for me. And Biddy's a fantastic gardener.
I'm learning. I'm learning.
She's taking some of the vegetables.
It's so wonderful in Newtown to have, you know, back garden where you can grow vegetables, and I just go shopping in the back garden. Every day.
It's very hard in London to grow vegetables. It's,
why not?
Foxes, squirrels.
Badgers.
A lot of snails. Pests, basically. And shortened season, so you've got to be really on the case during the summer, spring, summer. I mean, the allotment thing is a big thing in London, and that is a great, way to garden. Mm. And it's a different community. It's a way of, having a gardening community. But it's still, it's a struggle. And we found we just couldn't hack it, apart from a few herbs and sort of salad-y things on windows and stuff like that. Mm. So,
window sills are good.
Window boxes.
Right.
So
coming back here, just because there's nothing like growing your own food, I have to say.
Especially at the moment where everything seems to become so expensive.
Yeah, we've got lots of camara, haven't we, planted?
And I didn't realise when I lived here how much of a microclimate Newtown is, we always regarded our weather as, it's terrible, and windy Wellington, and people say, I can't wait to get away and go up north or go up the coast. But we were here, the first winter I spent here since 1979 was 2017, and I noticed our minimum temperatures are the same as Auckland's minimum temperatures through the winter. That's in Newtown. I know it changes in Karorie and probably Wainuiomata, et cetera, frost pockets, but it never went, it was the same minimum temperature. Mm. So it opens up a lot. You can grow a lot of vegetables through the winter more successfully than in the summer. Yeah.
Well, I know that Newtown and Berrenpore back in pre-colonial times were big growing areas, yeah. probably for the same reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a basin and it's a lot of natural runoff. Mm. So apparently there were kuma fields there, and I can believe that because it is quite moist and, you know, fertile and facing, you know, as you know, facing north. Mm. So my father, who spent his whole working life in Wellington, he was an electrician, and he's, you know, worked all over the place as a self-employed sort of contractor. He, you know, would always say Newtown is the best place to live, you know, from that point of view.
Microclimate.
Yeah, because it's sunny, sheltered from the south, and these gentle sort of springs and runoffs, you know, which you get through Newtown.
Right, yeah. So all those sculptural elements that are in your garden, the non-plant sculptural elements, is that to do with you? Is that something you've created?
The timber, the posts? That's something. I mean, I've always worked with timber generally in terms of structure. Reclaimed timber. That was something I took from Newtown. My business in London was around recycled hardwood taken out of warehouses and old docks, etc. That, you know, came through my father, you know, repairing these houses in Newtown, the native timber. Anyway, we just came across a depot in Evans Bay full of these old lampposts, and we just stopped and checked them out, and they'd been taking them down from the old cable car posts or replacing. It was a cable car company anyway. They were selling them for like $100 each, these huge 6 meter lampposts. And they were hardwood from Australia, Western Australia. And people were, you know, like burning them, chopping up for firewood. So I thought, well, here's a chance to put some structure in the garden. And another serendipitous moment was just happened to be walking past Te Papa, and they were dismantling the wooden part of the dock right in front of Te Papa. They were just taking all the old wood bits out, and what are you doing with these? You know, they're just going to be chucked. So raced off and got my cousin's four-wheel drive and a trailer, and we managed to come over with these massive, great big pillars.
Did that destroy the suspension of the trailer?
No, we had a trailer.
And you sort of dance on, they were massive and so heavy. And you had to dance them on and dance them off. And we had the benefit of a man mountain, a really fantastic chap who's been a lifesaver and helping us, you know, get the garden and house together, who lives in Melrose, Luke, who was just able to get them up. Get another step and
dig the holes.
Because they dig these holes for these six, some of these big long lampposts.
We had a lot of fun.
People would be walking past and, do you want a hand?
Yeah.
And sort of lift these massive, because some of them, the longest I think is 6 meters. So it's just part of the heritage, you know, available, and these things turn up. You know, that's what I like. I like to use materials which are just sort of
repurposed
and available, you know. Mm. So
and tell a story.
It's all
part of the sort of cultural history, isn't it?
Yeah,
because the pathways in the back garden are all made out of the bricks that were from the chimney.
Oh, yeah.
So he's just recycled everything.
So you're obviously an artist as well. Did you also go to art school, or did you just learn that as you went along?
I think I just learned that part, you know, when I went along. I did horticulture at Massey in the late 70s and the horticulture boom, you know. You may remember the kiwi fruit, Nouvelle Cuisine sort of boom. There's this, all of a sudden there's this gold.
Avocados.
Avocados and kicked off on kiwi fruit. You know, they were selling for fortunes. Anyway, it just burgeoned this. We can, you know, people like me, we can actually make a living being gardeners. And so I did a fantastic diploma course at Massey where I learned how to be a nursery. That was my nursery person.
Mm-hmm.
That was the foundation. Just like Biddy doing foundation at art school, you know, this is where it all, you know, starts and propagation. So I left thinking that we're going to feed the world, the starving millions, with kiwi fruit and babaco, fijo. Anyway, so I went to the Bay of Islands to work in kiwi fruit. I helped set up a nursery for a family. But it was so monotonous and so boring. A beautiful part of the world. But the job, you spend a lot of time in a spacesuit spraying noxious chemicals and producing thousands. And I made my way to London and ended up, you know, using, lucky enough to use plants in a creative way. And that's, the artist art comes into it, because it's a tapestry that changes every day.
Mm.
It's not the same. It's always different. And
it's a never-ending story.
It's not like, it's a never-ending story, exactly. Yeah. So.
So I like to describe our partnership as a cross-pollination.
Hybrid.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Betty's art and gardens, they, you know, go really well together. They can... But he'd had a time teaching art from her home in London, using the garden as, you know.
Well, artists, sort of visual artists, need to have two or three jobs that they do in order to support their practice. So I know a lot of the open studios artists that are going to be showing this weekend have a proper job, kind of day job. And so I was doing teaching as, you know, supplementing income. So that's the way it goes for a lot of visual
creative
artists.
People.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And musicians and
whatever,
they have jobs, proper jobs.
Mm, writers, yep.
Yep. Yeah.
So how do you spark off each other with your creative kind of philosophies and ways of doing things?
Encouragement. Go for it.
Meeting Billy was the best thing that ever happened to me, because we just think on the same wavelength. I was thinking that, and we say, yes, well, that's because we're the same person.
Yeah, which is a bit scary sometimes. But... yeah, it's the same wavelength.
Same instincts, yeah. And Betty is, you know, she can put her hand to a lot of things. She just, you know, not afraid to get her hands dirty. You know, she's can get stuck in.
I dig a good hole,
bin.
Not quite as good as you. Yeah. I can. Yeah, I don't mind getting my hands dirty.
Yeah, I leave the veggie garden to Betty pretty much. I do the compost, and
he's the compost king. It all starts in the compost heap, and that's where you'll find
it. Starts
him.
And ends.
That's where, magical. Are you involved in any community gardens around the city or anything like that, or is there any bits and
no,
the
sort of
planting
only the
up
town
up
belt.
Time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And because of a nursery, I have a nursery wherever I go, kind of thing. We have now a nursery in the Red House.
Oh.
Because some trees I planted in the 90s are now lancewoods, pseudopanax, are now hybridizing, having babies.
Oh.
So we get a lot of seedlings and we're potting them up and we're planting them in the town belt.
Great.
And we're going to, this autumn, we're going to do some guerrilla gardening.
I'm a huge fan of guerrilla gardening.
Yeah.
It's the best kind of gardening.
Yes.
watch
Newtown.
The lancewoods, they turn into something else.
I mean, not all of them. There are about a dozen, not hybrids. I think you said there's a lot of hybrids, but the sort of archetypal lancewood has a juvenile form, which is totally different to its adult. And it's a bit of a slow burn. It can take 10, sometimes 15 years for it to change, but sometimes, maybe not. So, yeah, it's a characteristic a lot of New Zealand trees have, and there are theories about why. Mm-hmm. And the most popular one is the moa theory.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not very edible, these lance-like leaves, and not very sort of, So they got, as soon as they got above moa height, they changed into a sort of a green, ordinary, typical green leaf. So that's like I say, a lot of New Zealand trees have that characteristic, you know, rimu and kauri. And,
right, interesting.
Yeah. So yeah. So anyway, you end up with a strong, very strong trunk, and it's I think one of the strongest New Zealand woods, even though it's not very thick, with this lovely candelabra of foliage at the top. So they're very good in urban gardens.
It's been so awesome hearing about you guys' creative partnership, and it's just brilliant. And
lovely to be here. Thank you very much.
Well, it's a great opportunity to check out the garden as well as Biddy's art on the weekend at the Open Studios.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing everybody.
The sun's going to be shining, but I'm looking at it.
Yeah, good weather forecast.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.